Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir, we're on. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, we just bring this word to you now and ask, Holy Spirit, that you will come and anoint us and draw our hearts out to our Lord in a new way. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, minister your word to us. Cause it to be clear, but cause it, Lord Jesus, to stir in us life and faith. For the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
The question really that we all think about, and as you get older you think more and more about it, is what's the most important thing in the Christian life? You know, what's the central thing that we should be considering? Or if you like, is there anything that we're missing that God would have us place as central importance? I'll give you a simple example, for instance. It's so easy, for instance, to spend your life working, rushing around in Christian service, rushing around, doing this, doing that. And in actual fact, we know from our own experience in watching others that it looks all right and it's very busy and so on and so forth, but very, very often it isn't what God wanted you to be doing at all, you know. If you really flowed in what he wanted to do, you'd see far, far more blessing. And so, just considering some of the things that are important in the Christian life, but is there anything that overrides them all? For instance, it's obviously important that we're saved and go to heaven. I mean, that's fundamental, isn't it? That's the gift of God. We can't work for that. It's God's gracious gift. It's important that as Christians we use the means of grace that God has given us so that we can cope with life. We can cope with our problems and with our relationships. It's important that we apply our Christian life there and see it working out. It's important that we are used of God and are a blessing. It's not satisfying to us, to God, or anyone else around us if we just consume our Christian life upon ourselves. Like I often say, you know, the parable of the sower. He went out and sowed the seed, and some got lost and didn't get anywhere, but some brought 100-fold. But if he had made bread of that seed and eaten it himself, where would it have been? But this is what we can do. We can just consume the word upon ourselves and not be giving it out. Is it important? It is important to live a godly, holy life, flowing in the will of God. This is important. It's important to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. It's important that we don't get swept up with the forces that rule the world, the lust and the desire. We've been thinking for riches, and this perpetual pressure of things undone. Now, all these things are true and important, but what the Lord's been showing me now for some weeks is there is an overriding truth that's easy to miss, and that is to behold his glory. Now, this is where we started, way back. We had that scripture. We're changed from glory to glory as we behold his glory. And I'm seeing more and more that what the Holy Spirit wants to do is to give us a revelation of who Jesus is, how glorious he is, how wonderful, and altogether different from anything in the world, and that he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, resplendent, in everlasting light, and the outshining of his glory is his love. And he's all powerful. And he's going to be the coming glorious king. And God is saying, I want you to behold my son. I want you to see him. I want you to behold his glory and his wonder. And what I'm seeing more and more, I'm sure we'll be sharing this till eternity, is that Satan's main effort is to get us to see our needs, our deficiencies, our problems, our inadequacies, get us to concentrate on those, that our life is taken up with struggling and coping with them. But all the time, God is saying, I want you to behold my son. I want you to be filled with the glory of who he is, that you can actually be filled with his praise, and let him deal with your problems. Let him deal with your problems. I just read you a scripture that's more and more meaning a lot to me. Read it before in Revelation 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. There were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. And this is what God is saying is the cycle. He wants our prayers and our worship to ascend before the altar. Then he sends down the power to deal with the enemy, deal with the problem. But what we want to do is we want to go straight to the problem, wrestle and cope with it, and pray about it. That's right, we need to do that. But in a sense, assume responsibility for it. And God is saying, no, that's not the way around. I want you to give you a revelation of my glory and my wonder that you can carry in your innermost heart. Now, that's something you can't earn, work for. It's a revelation that God wants to give of the wonder of who Jesus is and who we are in him. That's Paul's first prayer to us. And I just want to read some scriptures on this, this beautiful one in Exodus 34. You know that Moses is the type of Jesus in the Old Testament. There are so many parallels between the life of Moses and the life of Jesus. And we get this lovely story. Now, it was so, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai, he'd been up there two lots of 40 days. Moses and Jesus both fasted 40 days and 40 nights, but Moses did it twice. And the two tablets of the testimony which were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses didn't know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with the Lord. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the elders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And afterwards, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with the Lord, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, the skin of Moses' face shone. Then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with the Lord. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? He was so taken up with the glory that it made his face shine. And I think there is nothing more wonderful or beautiful than to meet a Christian who is in the depths of suffering and difficulty, and their face is shining with the glory. You know, you see it now and again. And I remember that story of Wurmbrot, you know, in the prison in Russia. There was one Christian there, a Christian, a godly man, who had a beautiful witness to the Lord. And one day he was brought out in front of all the other prisoners and told to renounce his faith. And he was terribly tortured in front of all the other prisoners. And Wurmbrot had to stand and watch. And in actual fact, they tortured him to death. But like Stephen, as he died, as he was being tortured, his face just shone with the glory of God. Now, I'm not saying that our faces are going to shine, we're going to have to put a veil over them. But there is a place where God wants to take us aside into the sanctuary and to behold his glory, that unbeknown to us, nothing you can hype up. It's not the charismatic smile that you can put on in a meeting. Unbeknown to us, there's a light, there's a glory upon our brows. I'm not saying that's what we do it for, but the principle is that God wants to reveal his glory to us and then be able to say to us, look, out of my glory, out of my grandeur, out of who I am, I want to deal with your problem. I want to deal with your problem. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4, this is near to the passage we started a long time ago, 2 Corinthians 4, it's God who's commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's God who's commanded light to shine out of darkness, and he's shone in our hearts with the intent of giving us a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm beginning to see that this is something that God really wants us to come into. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know. Learn how to come into his presence and behold him. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. We're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our body. His glory. In other words, Paul was saying, I'm having a hard life, and there's no let-up. But I realize the glory of God has shone into this earthen pot, and that's my treasure, and no one's going to take it from me, and I want it to grow more and more and more. And then in Revelation 5, now when he had taken the scroll, that's Jesus, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain. You've redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nations. You've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which was in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard them saying, blessing and honor, glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, for ever and ever and forevermore." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and forever. Now that's heaven. That's what's going on in heaven. That's what we'll be doing in heaven. And the Spirit is saying, "That's what I want you to do now. That's what I want to give you now." He said, "It doesn't really matter how much the clay pot gets battered around. It doesn't matter how unshapely your life, your clay pot, your vessel may be. That's not so important. It's important that in the centre of it there should be that glory. There should be the glory of the Lord shining within the depths of our being." Now, when you think about it, what it really is, it's the glory of love. It's the glory of God's love. It's the glory of knowing, oh, I'm a king and a priest unto God. As we were saying the other day, I'm loved. God is surrounding me with his heart of love. And now I'm beholding something of the glory of that love in the face of Jesus Christ. And so, whatever we might be doing, whether we are an outstanding right out in front of the Christian scene, seen to be a great, effective Christian, or whether nobody knows anything about what's going on, I don't think God is concerned. What he's longing for is that we should know that illumination in the depths of our being, that inner light that can actually shine out through our eyes. Because, and it's a secret thing, it's a secret thing, it's a thing that God can do to give us, to stand back and behold the glory, and I'm part of the glory. We're caught up in it. The church is caught up in it. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. And out of this revelation, I'm sure, will come the greatest of all Christian services. Intercession. Be able to pray for somebody else. You're there in the glory and you realize, well, Lord, I don't need to pray for myself. I'm accepted before you. I praise you. But all I want is to be able to call down your blessing upon others. I want to pray for others. See your light and your glory and your power come down and shatter the hold of the enemy over the lives around me, to break it, Lord, as I'm beholding your glory, as I just lift them before you. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, there is no strain, there's no worry. Thine is the power, thine is the glory. And I'll finish actually by reading that scripture. I think perhaps it's one of the most, certainly one of my most favourite ones. It's looking into David's heart and seeing how really David operated. Despite all his mistakes and weakness, therefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the great, the power and the glory, the victory, the majesty. All that's in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. And in your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." Oh, now therefore, our God, we thank you. We praise your glorious name. But who am I? Who are my people? We should offer unto you. You see his heart, don't you? Just taken up with the glory of who God was. And I think this is something that we've got to covet. We've got to covet. And just let me put it, just in a simple, practical way, When you find the burdens of the clay pot you're in, the burdens of life come upon you as they will, remember what we're sharing this morning, and remember the first thing to seek to do is not to try and wrestle with them and try and get all uptight about them. Try and even moan and groan about them. Complain of your inadequacy. That's we're so used to do that. Try and remember the first thing to do is, Lord, I just want to see your glory in the face of this problem. Holy Spirit, you know, even while you're washing up, doing anything at all, Jesus, you haven't changed. You're altogether glorious. I want to behold your face in the midst of this situation. And that brings you straight away into a right place, and it puts the problem in its right place. So what I'm saying is this, that it's the problems of life, it's the difficulties, it's the inadequacies that Satan wants to use to pull you down, but the Holy Spirit wants to use them to encourage you to reach out and get a fresh glimpse of the glory of Jesus and of you caught up with that glory. The other way you can do it, of course, is you can take time. You can take time off to be quiet and alone and read the Word and meditate. But the entrance into that, I'm sure, is to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, to just give you the vision of the glory of the Lord Jesus, the wonder of it. Read hymns, read scriptures that remind you of his supreme and absolute glory. And then let him lead you in praise and worship and prayer. So we just commit this to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just see this great theme of your glory, your wonder, your holiness. One day we are going to see it in all its majesty and fullness in heaven. And oh, Father, we know that Satan would want to blind our eyes to your glory, to your wonder, while we're here. But Lord Jesus, we thank you that you can break through and you can command, Father, the glory to shine into our hearts. You can command it. And we're here this morning, Father, according to your word, to say, let it be. Let it be so, Lord Jesus, that we hunger and thirst after that vision of your glory. And that you give us that spirit of love, that spirit of intercession to call the blessing down upon our loved ones and those we see in need. Father, we don't have to be specially trained. We don't have to go to Bible college. We don't have to know a lot about the Bible. We don't have to be anybody special. Lord Jesus, we can all behold your glory. We can all cry to you in your glorious name for others. I just ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, lead us into this place that you be glorified. Not asking, Lord, that our faces shine, but Lord, I'm asking you that something of your peace and your joy and your reality do come out from us in all sorts and manners of situation. And now, Father, as we seek to do this, as we seek to call down your blessing upon those in need, then just guide us that we, oh, that they might be the recipients of your love and your power in your way and in your time, dear Father, for the glory of your name we ask. Amen. Amen.